views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Karmic Path Radio Show with your hosts, Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This is where they build the karmic connection between science, psychology, and spirituality. They explore how these concepts and our actions affect our daily lives. But can we change our karmic path? Can we help someone else's karma? Stay tuned and join this dynamic duo for an opportunity to look at life and spirituality from a down-to-earth and powerful view. Only on the Karmic Path Radio Show will you discover how karma, spiritual law, and psychic ability all combine to open the doors of wisdom for you. The Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura. Better karma for better living starts now.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Tina Irwin, and I'm here with my co-host, Laura Van Tine, and we'd like to welcome you to The Karmic Path today, our very first inaugural show. Today, Laura is going to share with you an amazing story. I think you're going to really love this. But before we get started, I'd like to introduce you to some interesting concepts that are going to make her story all the more meaningful, right, Laura?
Absolutely.
Can I
disagree with you?
No,
I'm kidding.
First of all, we all have a karmic bank account. We have one whether we know it or not. And it's sort of like karma sees you when you're sleeping.
And whether you believe in it or not, karma is just like Santa Claus, people.
That's right. All the good things that you do and all the questionable things that each of us does are recorded in our basic karmic bank accounts, the credits and the debits. I do talk with my hands, so I think I have to be conscious of that. So as we are looking at the karmic bank account, remember that can last lifetimes. So we're going to have many discussions on that one. The next concept that's really, really important to understand is that karma never wastes energy. So even though you think, well, that was a waste, believe me, it wasn't. Something was learned, something was gained, a ripple effect was started. So that everything that happens to us is an opportunity to grow on our karmic path and to add or detract from our karmic bank account, depending on what levels of good judgment we do or don't use. Even in tragedy, people say that God is there always and in all ways. So is karma. So karma is the balancing element, the fulcrum that keeps life going in one way or another. It sounds like we're flying. Basically, we're flying through our emotional lives. So the next element here is the importance of following the logic trail. Why science is important, because we talk a lot about science and karma and what the connection is going to be, as you will hear in succeeding episodes. And the reason science is important is because karma is basically a law of physics. For every action, there's a reaction. And so that can be wonderful, or it can be not something you would have anticipated. And so karma is physics, whether you know it or not, and physics is an operation, whether you're conscious of it or not. It's always going to be there. If you drop that pebble in a pool of water, the resulting ripple effect, the action is dropping the pebble. The resulting ripple effect is the karmic reaction. And in that case, it's not good or bad, unless, of course, it's a landslide, and then that's going to be really terrible. So one of the other elements that we're going to be working with, especially today, is the concept and the importance of intuition. People call it psychic ability. Men call it a gut feeling. You know how guys are. And basically, we all have intuition or psychic ability. It's what keeps us safe, and every human being has it to greater or lesser degrees. What karma offers us are the lesson opportunities to learn to believe in what you feel inside of yourself, and that's going to be very, very apparent when Laura starts to tell her story. How much do you believe in that gut feeling you have that this is right or this isn't right? Part of this is an opportunity to learn to trust your instinct at some very, very powerful levels. So now with these basics, your karmic bank account, karma not wasting any energy in any situation, understanding the science of action and reaction, and the importance of intuition, I'm now going to turn you over to my wonderful co-host here, Laura Van Tine.
She has to say that because we're on air.
No, yes. Kidding. And she's going to tell you her amazing and chilling story.
All
and,
right.
And you need to hear this because you have, this will help set up the groundwork for all that we're doing. Okay, take it away.
All right. So this story is basically our origin story of how we met. And I'm going to start with my family and I were normal people living a normal life. I was a public school teacher. My husband's a businessman. We have three daughters. I'm involved in the local politics. I'm involved in the school stuff and the PTA stuff. And I have a lot of civic responsibilities, and we're always really busy. And we were a normal family until one day, one of our children woke up extremely psychic. And she was able to do and see a lot of things. And all of a sudden, this normal, quote unquote, American family had a really big secret. And this is the stuff that really, you know, horror movies come from. These concepts, you look at watch a horror movie and you're wondering, where did they get that? I think I know now.
Yeah.
So we wake up and our then six-year-old can see all and hear all sorts of beings and entities. And it really was no gift because as a parent, I was completely blind. I could not see what she could see. I could not hear what she could hear. And these things, these entities and these beings never need to sleep. And that's a problem because we, living in a mortal body, need our sleep for soul healing and restoration and for the physical healing and restoration. And sleep becomes a luxury. And I remember being so sleep deprived. This went on for years. I was able to, there was so much stuff going on in our house all the time, that if I could get two consecutive hours of sleep, I considered that just a huge blessing and a full night's sleep.
You need to give us a little idea of what was actually happening in your life. Why were you not sleeping at night?
All right. So first of all, it starts with my then six-year-old could see illnesses in people's bodies. And as a, she doesn't have very much judgment on this, and she's very innocent, and she's, you know, looking at, you know, this kid, and he's like, oh my gosh, this kid has this or that or whatever. And I remember one day in karate class, one of her karate counterparts fell and hurt his back. And she comes, Mom, I can see all these cartoon figures all over his back and they're all red. And she's just shouting this across the karate studio. I'm like, okay.
And she's six.
And then a couple of weeks later, I get this interesting email from my daughter's teacher. I think she might've been in third grade, maybe. I don't remember exactly. And she says, could you come in and meet with me? And so I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking, what happened now?
Oh, yeah.
And I go to meet with her and she says, last week I was completely fine. And then your daughter came in and she looked at me and she said, your lungs are turning red and they're getting redder and you're going to be really sick tomorrow. In fact, you're probably going to have bronchitis. And sure enough, this teacher ended up with bronchitis and it really freaked her out. And we had to keep having talks with her that this is not normal for her to do. We had talks with our daughter. These are not normal elements that people will discuss. For her, everybody does and sees these things. But this was just one aspect of it. The other aspect is that our house became what I would call a ghost superhighway.
So let me get this straight. So you're the parent who goes to PTA meetings and other parents are talking about their athletic kids. And
oh, I'm like, I remember going to a PTA meeting and all these parents, they're all excited. And they, I remember being in this group of moms and they're all chatting about these great accomplishments their kids are doing. And I'm thinking in my head, oh God, that's just great. Your kid's a straight A student, good looking and athletic. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, my kid talks to dead people. is chronically tired and is always late to school. So it was really, really tough because we had to put on a facade. And one of the myriad of ghosts that came was a ghost named Annabelle. And this is before the horror movie came out, way before the horror movie Annabelle. Annabelle was a little girl. She was my daughter's age. And somehow or another, she found my daughter. And we were able to discern that Annabelle had died in a car accident. And she was still in her pajamas. And from what Annabelle had told us, her parents were at a party and they were out late and she was in her pajamas and they had this car accident and she couldn't find her mom and dad. And she's been wandering and looking for her mom and dad, and she's crying and sobbing. And, you know, my daughter's talking to her, you know, like Tina and I are talking to each other. And it really makes me wonder now, as a parent, what are imaginary friends really?
Yeah, I think they're real.
Yeah. And so Annabelle came to live with us. And at first it was like, okay, as a parent, I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do about this. This little girl is cold. She's lost. She's sad. She's so homesick all the time, but she's a ghost. And I don't know what to do with her. And I start seeking help, all quietly seeking help. This is before, you know, the internet explosion, and there's not much out there on the internet. Even though I was searching, I wasn't getting a lot of right help. And as dark and scary as this was, the only thing I had was my intuition and the trust in my intuition. And Annabelle was with us for a long time, and she kept begging us to find her mom and dad. And she didn't know her mom or dad's first name. She was 6 years old also. And all we knew is she died in a car accident.
Which could have been 40 years ago.
It could have been 40 years ago. It could have been couldn't have been 100 because there's no cars then, but it could have been any location as well. So there is no time in that dimension.
And when we come back, we're going to hear some more about this.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah. Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
All right, welcome back. So I'm talking about how karma never wastes energy. And we have this ghost child, Annabelle, who wants to find her mom, find her home. She's lost, she's lonely. In the beginning, Annabelle didn't even know she was dead. And when
that'd be a tough shock.
It would be. And when that realization hit, Annabelle became downright cruel and vicious. And she had decided that she wanted me to be her mom, and she wanted my daughter out of the picture. And some of the things that she would do to my daughter, my living daughter, she would stab her in the back with a knife. And every time my daughter would take a shower, she would scream because she would have these three welts in the middle of her back where she couldn't reach, and Annabelle would be stabbing her. She would do things to her, you know, do things to make her look bad in front of her friends. And it was just, Annabelle became a living nightmare. And along the same time, we had this other ghost that decided to come in who was a serial killer. And my daughter, 6 years old. And throughout all of this, all I could think of was, we have so many ghosts. I didn't know that many ghosts could live in our house. And I remember thinking, oh God, I could write a Dr. Seuss book on ghosts. You know, there's fat ones, tall ones, hairy ones, scary ones, lazy ones, crazy ones. I could go on and on and on. It just never ended. But while this is going on, I'm looking for help. I'm looking for all kinds of help, spiritual help, religious help, psychic help. I felt like I was fighting for my family's sanity and our survival. And we did go to a couple of religious institutions. And I'm going to tell you that everybody I met along the way was always well-meaning. I remember we had some elders from a Mormon church come in and anoint our doors and windows with some type of holy oil. Well, it didn't work. And, you know, we were trying everything. We went to the Catholic Church. And, you know, again, we don't belong to these religious institutions. These are just people trying to help us. And the Catholic Church decided that Annabelle was actually the aborted fetus of some distant relative. And it was not the case. There was no aborted relative, you know, in our
aborted
life.
Aborted fetus.
Or aborted fetus, thank you.
Aborted relative.
And they ended up, you know, out of their own time and goodwill and good measure, they did a high mass, and we were instructed, asked to go to this high mass on behalf of Annabelle. And I remember my girls and I all went to the church, and my husband conveniently had a meeting that lasted late that night. And we're there, and I'm up at the altar with the priest and these spiritual counselors. There's three ladies there, and my three daughters and Annabelle are sitting in the pews. And they start closing their eyes, and they're like, oh, I see Annabelle, and she's with Jesus, and she's hugging Jesus, and they're frolicking in the meadow, and they're going on and on and on for like 20 minutes. And I open up one of my eyes, and I see my six-year-old and Annabelle. Well, I don't see Annabelle yet because I can't see her yet. Is just rolling in the pews laughing. And after we were finished, I said, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. And I took my three living children and the ghost child home with me. And apparently they both found a lot of humor in that one. Along the way, besides the religious help I was looking for, I was searching for a myriad of psychics. Short of dialing Psychics R Us, I mean, what do you do? It's not like I can, you know, go to, you know, my friend or, you know, a classmate's parent, say, oh gosh, you know, most parents are like, oh, my child is so talented with the piano, or a great soccer player. Do you know of a great coach or a piano teacher? Hey, my kid's really psychic. Do you know of a good psychic? You don't do that. I want to keep my kids, and I want to keep CPS out of the picture. So I am meeting with a myriad of psychics, and I'm interviewing them like they're on a job interview this whole time, because again, the only thing I have is my intuition. And I had, again, they're all well-meaning psychics. A lot of them said, oh, just have her follow spirit. She'll know what to do. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't let my kid follow the ice cream man or the creeper in the park with the puppy. Why would I want her to let her follow spirit, something I can't see with my own eyes? What is spirit? To me, that was a really vague and dangerous term. I knew there were ghosts. I knew there were other things, but it was just vague and dangerous. And as a parent, would you let your kid follow someone or something around that you didn't know who or what they were? And I had another psychic tell me, oh, just, you know, sit on the floor in a lotus position and just imagine her in a bubble of pure, bright, white, protective light. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm tired. I got to buy groceries. I got to clean the house. I got to take the cat to the vet. How am I going to sit down for who knows how long and put her in this bubble? And I'm thinking also, geometrically speaking, because I used to teach math.
Bubbles, there's your science part of you.
Bubbles are really easy to pop, right?
Yeah, not effective.
So, you know, and I'm thinking I have to live my life and that's not going to work. I even had another psychic tell me that she would be willing to work with my daughter. I would drive my daughter to her house and I would sit in the car and wait. Okay, again, parents, on what planet is that a good idea? It's just not. And that one was the scariest one for me because I felt like there's something nefarious that could really happen, separating me from my daughter and teaching her, you know, who knows what, or doing, you know, who knows what to her. So those were some of the things that I had been enduring. And there's a bunch of other stories in between. My one friend, Ellen, had, I was talking to her about this. I was talking to about two or three people about this at the time. And my friend Ellen said, you know, I have this psychic and she's in DC and she's really good. I think you should give her a call. And I called her up and I explained, you know, the ghost situation with this woman. Her name was Nancy. And oh God, I will never forget her. She's just amazing. And she was very honest with me. And she says that, wow, I can't believe all these things your daughter can do for starters. I'm not the right one for you. And she says, but you're going to meet a woman in uniform. And you guys are going to become business partners and you're going to be doing all kinds of things. And I thought, okay. And then all I could think of was a woman in uniform, a Denny's uniform, a post office uniform, a police uniform. What are we talking about here? Right. It was just really vague. And it was so vague that I forgot that conversation for probably about a year.
So in the meantime, you're praying like mad.
I am praying like I've never prayed. I found myself in this living nightmare that wouldn't end. You know, my husband is an engineer of sorts and he's, you know, the logic trails like, well, maybe she's got a brain tumor. Maybe this, maybe that. We're trying to find some type of conclusion resolution with all of this. And I had never prayed so hard for my life, for my family's life. And I'd been praying for help and guidance and protection for like two full years. And then my sister-in-law had, we'd been talking to her a little bit about it too. And she had a friend that she had mentioned something to, and we are going to get into that at the next break.
Do you want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to TransformationRadio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Learn and
and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
This ordinary person, sorry dear, leading what she thinks is a pretty routine life, when something astounding happens and she wakes up to find her six-year-old daughter can also do something called remote viewing. She could see through walls and doors. We haven't even begun to talk about that. And she could see inside people's bodies and she could see ghosts. And what Laura came to realize was that this ability that just pops up one day, and it can happen that way, was so overwhelming that she needed to find help, but there was no one she could go to. And she, you'd really tried hard. And I think that...
And I had to be discreet about looking for help.
Yes, because people think you're crazy. And maybe if you're watching us,
I'm a public school teacher. I know what they do to parents that they think might, not be the best fit.
So I think it's important that we share with our listeners and our watchers that you mentioned why you were constantly tired, and that, sleep was just an old memory. And I know exactly what you're talking about, but maybe we should share a little bit more about just what you mean by that and what was happening at night and that caused you to not be able to sleep.
A lot of times, ghosts, they don't need to sleep. Well, they never need to sleep. But for some reason, my daughter became this ghost magnet. And I'm not kidding you. We probably had hundreds, if not thousands, in our house at any point in time.
And I want to point out that may sound fanciful. You may not be able to conceive of a home with thousands of ghosts, but sometimes that absolutely can happen. And you can't even wrap your brain around how many ghosts can be present in one space. So that's not out of alignment.
They weren't all nice ghosts either. Some of them were, some of them weren't. Some of them were beyond horrible. And one of the things that I learned throughout all of this is that if you're a jerk in life, guess what? You're a jerk in death.
That's right. Your personality doesn't change when you die.
And if you're controlling and manipulative in life and you die and you don't cross over, you're still that same personality type. And back to the whole Dr. Seuss thing. I mean, at night, if I wasn't sleeping in my daughter, I would sleep with my daughter at night, praying and praying and praying over her and just asking for help and guidance. But if I wasn't sleeping in the room with my daughter, I would wake up in the middle of the night and I'd hear the feet just running, racing down the hallway. And this kid could take a flying leap, like 10 feet, I swear, and jump into our bed because these dark entities, these ghosts, these mean ghosts were chasing her. They wanted to harass her. And, here's kind of an interesting story. She's now about 7, and we're still dealing with all of this. And one day she comes out of her bedroom and she's crying. And I'm like, what happened? And she said, this mean ghost told her all about Santa Claus. And she was really devastated. I've never heard of that happening before. You know, we thought we had one more magical Christmas in our house, so to speak. But, you know, he just decided to be mean about it. And he wanted to just, you know, take away that magic, basically.
Well, basically, he was trying to take away your power as a parent and seek to have influence over her.
Right. And another ghost that was a constant in my house throughout this whole time was my dad. And what I didn't understand was that my husband's parents had died 2 years prior, and my dad had died the year prior. And so our children lost three grandparents in less than 3 years. And it was a really difficult time for us because all of a sudden, you know, our kids really don't have grandparents. And what do you do with that? And we're dealing with that. And then my dad keeps coming in as a ghost. And I didn't know what that meant. My in-laws never came, but my dad did. And he would talk to my daughter and play with my daughter. And the big question was, how did she know it was really him? And my husband, you know, was like, how do you really know? Tell me something that, you know, Grandpa Russ knows that no one else knows except for me. And he says to her, he whispers to her my nickname that he had for me that no one else knows. There's no way anyone else could know what that nickname was. My husband didn't even know. And I was stunned. It was really him. And he died way too soon. He had never been happier, and he was living life to the fullest. And it was just a tragedy that he was gone. And it really, you know, it hurt because I still get emotional about it. I still miss him dearly. And he was telling me through my daughter that he is sticking around to help protect us, because what she can do and see is can be dangerous. It can be, you know, attracting all kinds of, you know, things around that aren't for her greater good. So he's going to stay and protect us. And I'm thinking, this is just so crazy. How can my dad protect us from, I don't know what? What is he so alarmed about?
What can he see that is causing him in the fourth dimension to be that alarm?
Right. And he purposely did not cross over, which I found just astonishing. So I'm going to go back to my sister-in-law talking to one of her friends about our situation. And she's kind of relaying some things. And I have been through all kinds of psychic help. I have been through all kinds of religious help. I mean, I spent months and hours, and I drove 6 hours once to meet with some psychic who thought they could help us, and nothing was working. And nothing felt right. And I kept thinking this whole time, you've got one chance to get it right. I don't know why I was thinking that, but that was always that mantra in my head over and over and over. You've got one chance to get this right. And I would meet with a psychic or a religious institution or person and say, nope, that's not the right fit. That's not the right fit. That's not the right fit. And then one day, my sister-in-law has this conversation with her friend, and she goes to a dinner party that night.
The friend
goes to a dinner party, not my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law's friend goes to a dinner party.
And her name is Sue. And I happened to be at that dinner party. Our friend Jeanette had a wonderful party, and she invited Sue and she invited me, and we didn't know each other. And so Sue says to me, hi, what do you do? And I said, I talk to the dead. And she says, great, could you help a psychic child? And I said, yes, here's my card. She said, thank you very much. And then we changed the subject, and I never thought anything of it. I mean, people ask me this all the time, and, you know, I never hear from them again.
Right. And so I get, my sister-in-law calls me up. I think it must have been that night. I'm not sure. But she calls me up and she says, I've got a number for you of somebody who might be able to help you. And I thought, well, what do I have to lose? I mean, I've been through all of this stuff what do I have to lose? So I call this number and this really cheery voice answered the phone. And honestly, it just pissed me off because I was so exhausted. The last thing I wanted to hear was cheery. And I'm like, may I speak to Tina, please? And she's like, oh, yes, here I am. And I said, well, I have this issue and I don't know if you can help me, but I have this ghost child that has attached itself to my daughter. And I'm explaining the situation. I'm not giving her too much information because who would believe these stories?
I would.
Right. And so she's like, yeah, I can help. And so we talk and I explained to her the Annabelle situation. And she's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And we do this little thing. And all of a sudden, my psychic abilities woke up. And I'll explain that in the next segment. I could see Annabelle for the first time. I could see what she was wearing. I could see...
You could see the pajamas?
I could see her pajamas. Yeah, she had these like light pink pajamas. It looked like 1980s clothes to me.
That sounds so long ago.
I know. And I could see her and she was really, really just angry and vicious. And, you know, throughout this time, she would grab my leg and tell my daughter that, you know, she's my mom. She's not your mom anymore. And it would just, you know, freak my daughter out. And I what do you do with this? And I see Annabelle and Tina's like, okay, we're going to cross her over. And I got to see Annabelle cross over.
You got to see just for a brief moment, the light of the heaven world.
Just for a brief moment. And I thought, wow, this really happened. And then all of a sudden, I see my dad for the first time in 2 years. Now he's been dead 2.5 years. I see him. He's like literally right in front of my face. And he looks at me and he says, okay, you're good. You're good to go. And he took off. And I was just so stunned. He crossed over right there. And I did not expect that to happen.
But that was a wonderful thing you did for him.
Oh, you know, absolutely. Because he was getting beaten up also. This was not easy. This was not an easy choice he made.
It was a sacrifice.
To live with us as a ghost. So these two beings get crossed over, my dad and Annabelle. And I never said anything to my daughter. And time goes on and I am monitoring my daughter and she's not mentioning anything about Annabelle. She's not mentioning any of the games my dad would play with her, fun games. Like he'd stick his, you know, fingers in his ears and stuff like that. Or tell her silly jokes or, you know, that stuff. She's not talking about this anymore. And finally, about after a month or so, I said, so where's Annabelle? And she just looked at me. She goes, I don't know. And I'm like, well, what about Grandpa Russ? And she's like, I don't know. And that to me meant that what Tina was doing, what she did was the real deal. And that was the intuition that I had been looking for. I had been searching for. I was listening to myself. I never went with this psychic who said this. I never handed over my blind faith.
Or your power.
Or my power. And so with that, you know, Tina's like, holy crap, she's going to need a lot of help here. And, you know, I talked to Tina a little bit. And one day my daughter is, the ghosts are still there. We still have an onslaught of ghosts.
Still have a lot going on.
We still have a lot going on. But Annabelle's crossed over. My daughter is no longer getting stabbed in the back. My daughter is no longer getting pinched out of nowhere. And to see these marks on her body as a parent was absolutely heartbreaking. How can I protect my daughter against those things I do see? But how, as a parent, do you protect your kid against those things that you don't see?
And the people who are in that dimension, you don't know how many you're dealing with. You don't know who you're dealing with. And you're not even sure why it's happening to you. So, frankly, this is every parent's It's not every parent's worst nightmare. It is a nightmare.
Parent of psychic kids' worst nightmare. How's that?
Well, I think that that's really true. And I think that when I heard her story, what struck me was that this is a person who's truly desperate. And the process was really simple to me, And that simplicity in enabling her to see it. And you don't have to see it. We're going to be explaining in the episodes of our show that continue. We're going to be explaining how you can do some of these things for yourself, which is very, very exciting. That you'll be able to understand this. And the paranormal is very, very real. I mean, there's no such thing as no such thing. The physics in one dimension are absolutely the physics in another dimension. So I think it's very, very important that we understand that your intuition is, and your dogged determination that is what led you.
Intuition is a psychic ability, and it's probably our most powerful psychic ability and probably the least valued psychic ability. And so along this way, I never, ever wanted to harm Annabelle. She was a lost child who was frustrated.
Would you say that once this, you could actually see her, did this light of compassion begin to bloom inside of you?
Well, I had a lot of psychics that offered to banish her. But I thought, well, if she gets banished or removed, where does she go? And who else does she bother? So that was never an option for us. I had to figure out what to do with her. And that is one example of karma not wasting energy.
So as we come back, we're going to be going into a little bit more about how Laura began to develop her ability and the lessons, the karmic lessons that she was able to learn from this entire experience.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Jen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Hi, I'm Jane Matanga with Grow Your Soul Radio. It's been said that whatever you believe, you are. When you take charge with your positive thoughts and beliefs, you are the creator of your perceptions. You have the power to shift your reality. When you begin to shift your beliefs, the universe will dream a bigger dream for you than you ever imagined. Believe in your dreams, and every part of your world can open up in new and glorious ways, because everything is possible. I'd love for you to join me on Grow Your Soul Radio with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio.
Explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Do you believe you are meant to live with more joy, but you're just not sure how to get it? What does the phrase, give me the joy, make you feel? Join me, Lynn Horde, every second and fourth Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, on the Gimme the Joy Show, as I take you on a journey to peel back the layers so you can take back your joy. To find out more about my work as the Joy Coach, including my popular programs Joy School and Joy at Work, visit lynnhorde.com.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Welcome back to Transformation Talk Radio, The Karmic Path, with your host, Tina Irwin, that's me, and my co-host, Laura Van Tine. Laura's just been going over what it was like to finally receive some help and be able to cross not only the ghost child Annabelle over into the heaven world, but her dad as well. And the interesting opportunity that that process provided, which enabled her to find that her own psychic ability began to awaken. And I think you'd been really pushing the envelope with paying attention to your intuition and following what you believe to be true for you.
Yeah, that was the hardest part, right? Because I knew in my heart of hearts that this help that had been offered throughout the past 2 years just wasn't the right fit. And it didn't work also. I mean, I've got all kinds of stories of what didn't work, what, you know, the airy-fairy stuff. It wasn't working for us. And so with this, with Tina's help, we crossed over Annabelle and my dad. And then
a whole bunch more people.
And you had said, well, why don't you come down, you know, because we live relatively close to each other, which was,
thank God,
right? Come on down. And I come over to her house. And as I'm leaving her house, I see this photo of her. And she's wearing a U.S. Navy commander uniform.
So Nancy was right.
Nancy was right. There's the woman in uniform. And I think my jaw hit the ground pretty hard and it left a bruise on my chin because I was like, wow, I had forgotten all about that comment that Nancy had made. You're going to find a woman in uniform and all of these things are going to happen. I was so dog tired and just drained for not sleeping for almost 2 years. I forgot that she had said that. But when I saw that picture of Tina in this uniform, that conversation replayed back in my head and it was like, wow, that was just one of those huge aha moments. And it was also a validation of the fact that Tina was what I was looking for. I didn't know who or what I was looking for, but that was validation. And so this goes back to karma, not wasting energy. As hard as those experiences were, I needed those experiences to do what I can do now. When I was a kid, I was very psychic. And when I was 12 years old, my best friend in the whole world died in a tragic accident, a horsing accident. And it left me with a huge hole in my heart. It was just one of those instant things. When death is planned or it's someone's sick, that's one thing, but when a tragic accident happens and your friend is 11 years old at the time, it's really hard. And my friend Kelly would come and visit me all the time, and I would tell my parents and kind of freaked them out. And I didn't know why it freaked them out. She would come and visit me, and, you know, I remember not being able to discuss it with my parents. And again, I don't fault my parents. They were doing what they thought was right at the time, but sometimes the lesson can be what not to do. And I knew my daughter was not one to lie, was not one to exaggerate. I knew what she was saying was true. And I knew what she was experiencing was very, very real, even though we couldn't see it, touch it, smell it. Sometimes we could smell it. We had these smoking ghosts once.
Well, the ghost is smoking in your house and you don't smoke. You're going to smell smoke.
Yes. And these were my daughter classified them as the Rite Aid hobos. And they would follow us home after karate class because the karate studio was near a Rite Aid. And it's another one of those bizarre stories. So because of those experiences I had as a child, I knew what not to do. But because of those experiences, I knew what needed to be done. And that was so valuable. What my parents gave me was a huge gift. And it's not something that one would normally think of it as a gift, but it was a huge gift. And my abilities ended up coming back in full force at this time. And the truth was, I just needed all of those experiences of what my family was going through to be able to do what I do today. It was as if karma was setting me up and setting us up for some potential future.
And I knew that based on the abilities that her daughter had, she was going to need a lot more help over a longer period of time. And I was writing my second book.
Sorry.
Excuse me. I was writing my second book and I needed someone to help me edit it. And she's a school teacher, who better? And so we almost immediately developed this partnership of I needed her and she needed me. And karma put us together and we began to see the strengths that each person brought to the table. And it enabled us to begin to forge a lot of the concepts that we're sharing today. I mean, I was writing a book, The Lightworker's Guide to Everyday Karma, and that was, you know, published in 2011. Yeah.
And also the Annabelle story that I spent a lot of the show on is in Tina's book, Ghost Stories from the Ghost's Point of View, and you can find that on our websites. But this book has 21 short stories that are ghost stories that are true stories.
And this is volume one. We have three volumes. So the Annabelle story is in volume one, and I think it's certainly worth reading even in greater detail because you get a sense of the horror and trauma that Laura was experiencing because she didn't know. Knowledge is power. That is the entire point of this radio show, is to share the knowledge, take away the fear, make this information available to anyone who wants to understand it. Take hocus pocus and leave it in the dictionary, and let's bring some science into this. What happens when we die? We're going to be going over that in the weeks to come. You know, what is the afterlife? And more very, very interesting information. And so as Laura crossed Annabelle over and her heart of compassion opened for this child, that shifted something inside of you, wouldn't you say?
Well, seeing her, being able to see her psychically was huge. I could feel her grabbing my leg. She would do one of those little kid leg hugs. I could feel that. And, you know, I could feel her grief, but I could never see her. So once, and again, I didn't want to send her away or banish her because that doesn't solve the problem.
So logically, you were following a logic trail. You needed to do the right thing and take care of her in the most karmically correct way, which was to cross her over. And again, to sum up, just sort of a recap, Laura's karmic bank account was greatly expanded when she cared enough to make sure that Annabelle got the very best care.
Yeah,
and she really did. And her own daughter. And karma didn't waste the energy of Laura's childhood and all those other things. So I think that
this is
really
right. This is how we met. This is our origin story. And next week, we're going to be talking about Tina's background. But before we do that, we want to thank you for listening and tuning in to us. And I also want to thank our sponsors, The Oil Lounge. And we encourage you to grab a cup of tea or coffee and go check them out. It's a group of nurses grounded in science, and this amazing team loves to share their knowledge on essential oils with a scientific background. And we'd love to have you check them out. Again, it's theoillounge.com.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen live Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time as Tina and Laura explore the fascinating elements of karma and help listeners make those critical connections between spirituality, science, and psychology in an emotionally comfortable and logical way. Both Tina and Laura are experienced psychics with grounded backgrounds in public education and the military. They have a deep-rooted dedication to learning how the unseen world works and to sharing this knowledge. Learn how to create a heightened sense of understanding and karmic awareness for greater personal balance with the Karmic Path Radio Show. For more information on Tina and Laura and their work, visit thekarmicpath.com.